we began discussing last time the din of Misaru Lekasafim, based on Yerushalmi, that if you give over the Mes to Chevra Kadisha, then the laws of Anina cease to apply. We mentioned the Pesachei Tshuva because of Chachmas Adam, who wondered why the Minhag Olam seems to ignore the Salacha. We always give over the Mes to the Chevra Kadisha, and yet the Avelim continue to observe the details of Aninas until the Kvura. And the Nodmi Huda suggested that the reason that our Chevra Kadisha doesn't fall into the sin of Misaru Lekasafim, the reason we continue to be knowing Aninas even after giving over the Mes to the Chevra Kadisha, is that the Avelim are still involved in some meaningful way in the Kvura process. They're going to be going to the Beis Haros, and the fact that they are still involved means that they still have the din of an Onen. There is a parallel to this din of Misaru Lekasafim, and that's what the Gemara tells us in Moikatan Daf Kaf Beis Amin Aleph. The Gemara here has Amar Lehu Rava LeBnei Mechuza. Rava said to the Bnei Mechuza, Asin Delo Azlisu Basar Arsa, you who do not follow the Aron to the Kavura, Mechima Hadrisu Apaychu Mivava De Avula Asfilu Manu. When you turn your faces away from the gate, from the outer gate of the city, meaning there, whoever's taking the mace lekvura is leaving the city, and the krovim would accompany the aron to the gate of the city, and then go back into the city. So when the krovim turn their backs on the aron, askilu manu, then they should begin counting the days of Shiva. That's when the avelus begins. Okay? So this is the din of hafzaras panim, that if the avelim turn away from the mace leading up to Kavura, then Aninus ends and Avelus begins. This halacha is quoted in Simen Shin Ayin Hei Se'if Beis. Before we quote what it says in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlokas rishonim about the parameters of this din. The Ramban in Taras Adam in the Masada of Kook edition, which is the pagination that we'll reference. The Ramban, Taras Adam, pages Kuf Samach Beis to Kuf Samach Gimel. Taras Adam, pages Kuf Samach Beis to Kuf Samach Gimel, quotes the position of the Bahag, that this din of Hafzaras Panim applies even if the Kavura is going to be in the same city. That as long as the Avelim are not accompanying the Aron to the Kavura, as long as the Avelim go back home, then their Avela starts immediately, even if the Kavura is going to take place nearby. The Ramban himself, however, argues, and the Ramban assumes, that this halacha only applies if the Kavura is going to take place at a further location. If the Kavura is going to take place locally, then the Avelim must wait until they hear that the Kavura actually happened to begin their Avelus. Okay, so according to the Bahag, this din applies even if the Kavura is local. According to Ramban, the din of Hafzaras Panim applies only if the Kavura is going to take place outside of the city. What's this machloka? So the Bach seems to understand that it's a matter of where, at what stage, in what situation does Hesach Hadas kick in. So the Bach, that others use the Lashon of Yeyush, the Rishonim use the term of Yeyush. Ba'al Shulchan explains Yeyush means Hesach Hadas. It doesn't mean you're giving up anything. It means at what point are you Mesiach Das from involvement in the Tzorchei Emes. So according to the Bahag, once you turn your back on the Aron and go back home, then you have full Hesach Hadas from whatever is going to go on with the Kavura from that point on, even if the Kavura is going to take place locally. According to the Ramban, you only have a Hesach Hadas if the Kavura is going to take place further away, not if it's going to take place in the local vicinity. Now the Rambam goes with the Ramban's approach, but he has a slightly different formulation. The Rambam is in Perek Aleph Halacha Hey. Perek Aleph Halacha Hey. The Rambam writes, Misha Darkan Lishloach Hameis Lemedina Acheres Lekovro, that for whoever sends out a mace to another Medina, another city, to bury him, Ve'enam Yodim Masayika there, and they don't know when the crew is going to take place. You know, they're sending the mace away to be buried elsewhere, they don't know when the kavura is going to take place. Me'es she'achzu p'nayen mila lavoso maskilin limnos shiva v'shloshim maskilin l'savo. From the time that they turn their faces away, that is when avelus begins. So the Mefarshei Rambam discuss how daf is this formulation of Einam Yodim Asayi Kaver. The Rambam says that in a situation where the mace is going to be buried in another city, and their relatives don't know when the burial is going to take place. So does that mean, so what's the din if the burial is in another city and they know when the kavura is going to take place? It could be in another country, it could be 6,000 miles away, but they know exactly when the kavura is going to take place. They could be listening on their telephone.
Back then, they had no way of knowing, right?
That is correct.
So,
okay. And now we do. So how critical is this Einam Yodim in the Rambam's formulation? And that's how, not just the Rambam, the reason it's important to know is that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Sif Beis, the Mechaber basically quotes Lashon HaRambam, Misha Darkin Lashtoa Chameis Amdina Cheres Lekavro Ve'enam Yodim Asayi Kaver Me'et Sheyachzu Pneya Milalavoso Milalavos Maskil Limdos Shiva Shoshim Maskil Lasavos. The Mechaber quotes Lashon HaRambam verbatim. So how Dafka or Labdafka is this Yediyas Matayi Kaver? So the Bach sounds like he understood that it's very dafka, that in a situation in which even if the mace is going to be buried far away, but you know exactly when the burial is going to take place, so avelus only kicks in when the burial takes place. This whole din only applies where you don't know. So where you don't know, you're going to have a hesach hadas right away because you're not connected anymore to what's going on. But if you know when the kavura is going to take place, then there's no hesach hadas. Ba'al Shulchan explains a little bit differently. Ba'al Shulchan is in Sif Katan Yud Aleph. So he understood that what the Bach was saying was that Chazal has to establish a certain time for when the kavura is going to start. So if you know when the burial is going to take place, when the avelus is going to start. So if you know when the kavura is going to take place, so then that's the natural time that the avelus is going to start. If you don't know when the kavura is going to take place, so then you have to figure out some clear point in time in which we can say the avelus starts, and the most logical contestant for that candidate for that point in time is when you turn your face away from the mace and go back home. But in the Hanami, if you know when the burial is going to take place, so then the kavura remains the trigger for starting avelus. I should have pointed out when we started. In general, kavura is the trigger for starting avelus. That's Sif Aleph here in Simen Shin Ayin Hey. The emesai chal avelus mishenikbar v'nigbar stima sagolel v'afar. So avelus starts after the kavura, when the kavura is complete. And then the rest of the simen are details where that may not be the case. Okay, so according to the Bach, it sounds like Yediya is dafka. So if you don't know when the burial is going to take place, and then this halacha kicks in, that once the krovim turn their face on the mace, avelus begins. If they know when the burial is going to take place, then the avelus begins at the time of kavura, even if the kavura is going to be somewhere else. However, the Aruch HaShulchan understood otherwise. The Aruch HaShulchan Oskes, and this seems to be the more consensus opinion among poskim, is that Yediyah is lav dafka. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Aruch HaDemilsa. What's critical is whether the kavura is taking place locally or far away. If the kavura is taking place far away, the avelim are not going along for the kavura, so then the avelus is going to kick in once the avelim turn back home. And the formulation of Einam Yodim Asayi Kaver, that's just Orcha Debilsa. That's the normal situation that you would expect if the burial is going to take place remotely. Ramosha has a slightly different explanation, but along similar lines. Ramosha in Atshuva, Chelek Beis Yardeya Simen Kufayim, Chelek Beis Simen Kufayim. The way Ramosha expresses it is that in a situation in which the Kvura is going to take place locally, where you can easily know when the Kvura is going to happen, so then, even if the Avelim are going to go home, it's possible they may change their minds. They may end up deciding to go to the Kfura anyway. They may have some further involvement in the Kfura. So in that situation, the Avelis doesn't begin until Kfura. In a situation in which the norm is that you wouldn't know when the Kfura is going to take place because it's happening far away, so then that's a simon that the Avelim are not going to be any further involved. So the question of whether there is yediyah isn't significant in and of itself. That's a simon for how far away is the kvura. Is there any possibility that the avel may decide to participate or be involved regardless? Okay. So that's this din of me'etz shi'achzu p'neihem mila lavos. So it seems that this din of Hatzaras Panim and the din of Misarula Kasafim are really related, parallel halachos. Misarula Kasafim is you get over to the Chaver Kedisha and you seize any involvement with the Kvura. Hatzaras Panim is you go back home and you seize any involvement with the Kvura. What you have to figure out is how do these halachos jive with how we passed in the beginning of Siman Shin Mem Aleph, the position of the Rosh, that even if the individual Onen is no longer involved in the Tzarchei HaMeis, even if Yesh Mi Sheyisa Maso, even if there are other people dealing with the Tzarchei HaKavura, the laws of Anina still apply. That Malkloch is the Rosh and the Bein Hatam, in the case of where Bein Hatam's sister passed away in a different city. Bein Hatam was not Noeg Aninus, and the Rosh argues, and we pass in Shulchan Aruch like the Rosh, that the laws of Aninus apply in that situation, even if there are other people being Osek B'Tzorchei HaMeis. So how does that stem with this halacha of Misarul HaKasafim of Hachzaras Panim? Here we seem to be saying that even though you are seizing your involvement with the Meis, here we're saying that once you seize your involvement with the Meis, you go back home, Misarul HaKasafim, Aninus ceases to apply, and the Rosh seems to tell us, and we assume that way in the beginning of Siman Shin Mem Aleph, that even if you have other people dealing with the Tzarchei HaMeis, the lachas of Aninus still apply to all Onanim. What would you say?
There was some Aninus here.
I'm sorry?
That the Krovim had some form of Aninus, so therefore they still had some form of Aninus, but now it's on its way to being buried, so we're not getting rid of it totally.
What do you mean we're not getting rid of it totally?
I mean, they already were known it's some form of Aninus.
Right.
So therefore, maybe the Rosh would say here that they already had some Aninus, now the mace is going to be buried specifically, so he's willing to forego the last little part of the...
Well, the Rosh would say in theory that Even in a case in which you started being Osef B'Tzarchei HaMeis and someone took over, you would still have to be Noeg Aninus going forward. There's no evidence of that still within the Rosh.
Maybe it's related to Kavod Kadet, maybe there's...
Yeah, so how would you express that?
That maybe the Rosh's case, even when he's handed over, that there's still like he's down to Kavod Kadet, whereas If you're on the way to burying him and you don't know when he'll be buried, then maybe there's like less intense put of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll say something similar. The Chachmas Adam has a kuntres in the back of his piece on Avelis called Metzavis Moshe. Chachmas Adam writes there that he had a son who passed away at the age of 20, and name of Moshe. So he wrote this kuntres, Metzavis Moshe, which describes some shailas that came up and some details of the Avelis that he was knowing for his son, he passed away in Purim. So we noted before, the Chachmas Adam was skeptical of the common practice to be Noe Ganinus even after giving the mace to the Chaver Kadisha. So he writes here in the Maseves Moshe Os Gimel that when his son passed away, and they gave over the mace to the Chaver Kadisha, so he ceased to be Noe Kilchos Aninus. And then he asks a question. He says, how do you understand this din of Misarula Kasafim relative to the din of the Rush? He says, after all, the Rush himself quotes the din of Misarula Kasafim. It's not 2 days in Mishonim. The Rush, you argue from Mitam, and says that even if Yesh Mishi Yisam Aso, you still would know Aninus, the same Rush, quotes the Yerushalmi of Misarula Kasafim. So how do you explain the Rush? So he suggests the following, that as long as the responsibility to be involved in Kfura rests with the Onanim, so even if there may be one family member that is involved in the Kfura and another family member that's not, there's a concern that maybe the family member involved is going to get lazy and he won't complete the task that was assigned to him. So because of that possibility that maybe the family member who's doing all the work might slack off, then all family members need to continue to be Noe Hilchos Aninus, because maybe they're going to have to pick up the slack. So that's true if you have multiple family members, some of whom are dealing with Sarachei Meis and some of whom are not. But if you give it over, so to speak, to the professionals, if you give it to the Kasafim, so then you don't have to worry that they're not going to do their job. There's no concern that they're going to slack off, and therefore the Onanim, the Avelim, do not need to anticipate any further involvement and can cease practicing the restrictions of Aninus. So when it comes to a normal situation of multiple family members involved in Sarachei Meis, you have to be concerned that maybe you'll be called upon to get involved even if you're not involved at the present time. But if you give it over to the professionals, the professionals are professionals, they're not going to slack off, they're going to do their job, and then the Onanim sees the Noeg Aninus and they could continue to perform mitzvos and recite brachos. So that is the Chachmas Adam suggestion as to how to resolve what seemingly is inconsistent between the halachas of Misur L'Kasafim, Hafsar Espanim, and the din and sefalif. Yeah.
Why can't it be similar to like shnayim that are yimishayim or the mace? Like as kol zman that you're actively being bound sarachei mace, then you're no make manias. But if you're not actively, even though you could be called upon in a minute, like when there's two people of the yimishayim there.
So that's what the reason of yisam also tells us that it's not just a regular oseg mitzvah pachim and mitzvah, but the concern of there needs to be someone taking care, and at a moment's notice you may be called upon, and because of the heightened concern of dealing with the mace as opposed to other mitzvahs, you have to be ready and you can't in any way be distracted. So that's unique to Aninus, that we don't have such an orientation when it comes to Aninus. That's Yisam Aso. Yeah.
According to the Chachmas Adam,
mm-hmm.
is there any requirement for the Ksafim to be professional
paid?
Yeah. Well, if they volunteer, is that enough?
So the Badi Yoshokan has that discussion here. He suggests maybe it should depend on that. He says if that's the case, and that would answer, he said he doesn't know what was the practice from the time of the Chachmas Adam. Was the Chaver Kadisha paid or not? So he says if they have to be paid, they weren't paid. So that would answer the Chachmas Adam's question why people aren't knowing this din of Nisarula Kasafim. So that's that he's not sure about. A good point. Yeah.
Also, this shot doesn't go with the model of the Chakira about covering the mace versus Phoenix Fura, no?
Well, we assume the halacha that the Ikr time is Yisam Aso, not covering the mace.
But it wouldn't go with, so, okay, fine, but it still wouldn't go. In the Rosh, you want to respond to the assume that it didn't cover the mace.
No, the Rosh, meaning if you're going to be told that Makos have been the time of the Rosh and covered the mace versus Yisam Aso, the Rosh comes out Yisam Aso. I mean, the time comes out,
right?
Right.
We're passing the Rosh anyway, so we'll agree that it's also Yisam Aso.
correct. We pass like the Rosh. So if you assume that Chakira, so then we pass in Yisim Aso. Good.
And we pass like the Rosh.
Because the Rosh is the time of Yisim Aso.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Very, very, very correct.
Yeah, okay,
I hear
turns the brush into Yisam Asar also.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like these things are like little tiny bit.
Yeah.
It depends what Kodam Ace means, but there's you're not lacking Kodam Ace. If you give it to someone who's lazy, so it's like Kodam Ace, if you give it to someone who's professional, then like...
Right. So you could formulate that in terms of Kodam Ace also. Right. Yeah, I guess so. I hear you saying, Shark. By the Shulchan, that's a little bit different, more in the Kodam Ace camp. And maybe like this, as Lavush explains, that the concern of Kavod HaMeis is more of a outsider's perception than an objective problem. Meaning, it's not that objectively there's a... If, let's say, someone else is taking care of the Tzarech HaMeis, so there's no objective lack of Kavod HaMeis if the other relative doesn't tend to the Tzarech HaMeis. The concern is the innocent observer who sees that this relative's power of just I... And he's out doing this with same brachas and not showing any concern for the Tzarech HaMeis. So even though objectively it's being taken care of, but whoever's looking at it from the outside isn't aware of that, and therefore is going to be, it'll be a lack of kavod HaMeis in the sense that people will think that this relative is not giving proper kavod to the deceased. So he says that may be a different way of explaining the chilek. That if it's Misarulik Asafin, so then no one's going to have that misimpression that this relative is not showing Kavod HaMeis and not dealing with the Tzarech HaKruva, because you know that the Chavir Kedisha is taking care of it. So the Rosh situation, if there's no Chavir Kedisha involved, so then even if one relative is taking care of it, people may perceive the other relative as not being sufficiently sensitive. That's Badir Shulchan, page Kuf. Rather, Shulchan thinks maybe that's shot in the Agos Maimini Suffolk. The Agos Maimini Peridalid Osvav. Peridalid Osvav quotes from the Raviyah. The Raviyah is the Suffolk in a situation where a person is traveling together with a mace on a wagon or a boat. The that of the din of Nimsa with a Suffolk. A person's traveling with a mace on a boat. The that of the din of Nimsa with a Suffolk. So what was that shaila?
One person, a karo versus a random person?
No, a karo, yeah. There's someone who would be knowing any news otherwise. So the Nodav Yehuda, who we quoted last time, understood that Pshad in this Raviyah supported his understanding of Mesirah Lukasafim. Nodav Yehuda understood Mesirah Lukasafim is only where the relative is no longer involved at all. He's not going to go to the Kruah. So that's the Shaila over here, the Raviyah. That if you're traveling together with the maze, so that's not Mesirah Lukasafim, even though the Kasafim are taking care of it, but you're going along for the ride. That was one of the notes of his Raya for his understanding, that if you're going along for the ride, if you're still going to the Kruah, then the din of Mesirah Lukasafim doesn't apply. Rabbi Shulchan says, maybe along the lines of Lavush, different chat, that the Shaila is, if you're going along for the ride, so then people may not realize that you're no longer involved in the Tzarech HaKruva, even though there are Kasafim on the boat. But given that you're, so to speak, out of context, people wouldn't necessarily realize that the kasafim are the ones handling the kura, and think maybe you're involved, and then you have that kavod ames consideration. Okay. Bila desame. So however you figure it out, there is a din mesula kasafim and a sarfanim, which applies in situations where we are no longer concerned, or in those situations we're no longer concerned about the Russians in, that even if there are other relatives involved, you're still no aganinus. The Achronim discuss what's a din if a relative passes away in a remote location, and the Avel finds out about the death of his relative, and there's no way that he's going to travel to or make it to the Kfura. When does his Avela start? So the way this is described in the 19th century Shuvahs is you get a telegram that your relative died, you're not going to make it to the Kfura. When does Avela begin? So this is known as a machlokas between the Nitziv and the son of Rav Rafael Shapira. The Nitziv is in Shuvahs Meshav Davar Chelik Bey Simen Ayin Beis. Chelik Bey Simen Ayin Beis. The Nitziv, this shayla was addressed to someone in Baltimore. There were Jews in Baltimore back then. So the Nitziv writes as follows. The whole din of Misaru Lekasafim only applies where there's actually a Mesira going on. A Mesira Miyad Liyad. So you have the mace in front of you, and you're giving it over to the Chaver Kadisha. So at that point, the Avelis is going to kick in. But if you're never proximate to the mace to begin with, the mace is in a different city. So then, Avelis only begins at the time of Kivur. One of his rayas is from Simen Shin Ayin Hei Se'if Vav. Okay, take a look. Simen Shin Ayin Hei Se'if Vav. I remind you, you should all have the Shulchan Aruch in front of you, either in print or digitally. The Mechaber writes, "Mi shahudiyuhu shetzlovo ovdei kachavim krovo v'yaracheres." The person is informed that his relative was crucified in a different city. The nahag avelus miyat, and as soon as he got this information, he began observing avelus. V'acher kach nodelo. And then you find out that he wasn't actually dead yet. Also, Avelus lo alalo. So that initial Avelus doesn't count. The Choser Ramona, Mishi Yikaver, O Mishi Nisyashi Milakavro. Then you have to start your count of Avelus again once he's actually buried. So you find out that a relative was killed. So at the time that you got the information, he was really still alive, but you were misinformed that he's already dead. You start counting Avelis. Then you find out that at the time that you were knowing Avelis, he was still alive. But he's going to die soon anyway. So that Avelis that you're knowing when he's still alive doesn't count. And you have to wait until you bury him. And the Siv says, you see from the Salacha, that if you're not near the mace, Avelis only begins at the time of burial, if you're not going to make it to the Kvura yourself.
Doesn't the
Shulchan
say, either
Nisyashim Lekavim, meaning you're not, no one's going to bury him, meaning the guy who took the body, and there's no chance of burial, or if you actually bury him.
Did you say that the Yesh Mekvura means like Hetzach
Hadas? No, that's a different context for Yesh and Hetzach Hadas. Well, yeah, so it means that you have, for all intents and purposes, he's not going to be buried. You have no, you don't hold out any hope of burying him anytime in the near future. Now that's the Mace Patrisa that we have here in Shin Mem Aleph Sif Dalit. Okay, so Sif says, you see from there, that if you're not with the Mace, if you're in a different location, and you were never Osei B'Tzarkei Mace to begin with, the Dinim Misarul of Safa doesn't apply, and Avelos only begins at the time of the Purim. If Dibre Sofrim quotes that Rameyer Arik has the same sock in the Imre Yosher. And Rav Schechter pointed out that before the war, the general consensus of Poskim seemed to be like the Nitziv. And after the war, the consensus shifted to the second position, which we will discuss presently. The second position is attributed to Rafael Shapira, the Nitziv's son-in-law, which is a tshuva that is printed in the Seif Emed for some reason. It appears in the Seif Emed Chelek Hei. Pa'as HaSholchan Avela Simen Yudalev. Chelek Hei, Avela Simen Yudalev, beginning with page 205. So Rafael Shapira writes that if you receive a telegram from another city that a relative died in the other city, and you're not going to make it to the Kfura, the Avelus begins right away, and that is the din of Asaras Panim. Asaras Panim is not only if you are accompanying the mace to a certain point and then go back home. Even if you never accompany the mace, if you're not going to make it to the Kfura, then the din of Avelus kicks in immediately. What about the Nitziv's Raya from the case of Slavo Akum? We just read in Simon Shin Ayin Hei Se'if Vav. Doesn't that seem to indicate that if you're in a different location, you're not going to make it to the Kfura, then Avelus begins at the time of Kvura? So he says, no, that's a different din. I realize I slightly misstated the halacha there. The halacha there was, he was told that his relative was crucified, and he was knowing Avelus right away, and then he found out that he wasn't buried yet. Right? I misspoke. He found out that his relative was crucified, but he wasn't buried yet. They didn't allow the burial yet. So there in Shulchan Aruch it says that that Avelus doesn't count. It only counts after you you can only be knowing Avelus after you buried the dead. So Rav Shapira says, no, that's talking about a case where it wasn't shaykh to bury him yet. So if it's not shaykh to bury him yet, so then Avelus doesn't begin. But if it's possible to bury him, so then the Avelus will begin when you receive the news, if you're not going to the Kfura yourself. Then he asks, how does this work with the position of Rebbeinu Tam? Rebbeinu Tam was not knowing Aninus when his sister passed away because his brother-in-law was dealing with the Tzar Chayachur. So if Rafal Shapir is correct, so then why did Rebbeinu Tam have to come out to that? Say more simply, Rebbeinu Tam is in a different city. He wasn't going to the Kfura. So the deal begins right away. Why do you even have to come on to the idea that there's something else being the top of the Tzar Chemes? If it's correct that if you receive a telegram that your relative died in another city and you're not going to go to the Kfura, that Avelus begins right away, so that's the reason Rabbeinu Tam should have been knowing Avelus and not Aninus right away. Not because there's something else being Osei B'Tzar Chemes. Even if no one is Osei B'Tzar Chemes, if you're not going to make it to the Kfura, Avelus should begin right away. Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, I mean, all I know from Rebbeinu Tam is that he wasn't knowing Aninus. Do we know that he wasn't also knowing Avelus? I mean, he just nothing?
He was. Okay, we don't know that.
So this is assuming that he was in neither.
Maybe two sides of the same coin. Okay. Meaning, at the point that you're no longer knowing Dine Aninus, it could be that Dine Avelus begin.
Okay, and I also said maybe this is the same point. Is he even a problem with the rush? Because the rush was saying, I'm really saying the same thing, the rush was saying, you should be knowing Aninus. You can say the rush, no, you should be knowing Avelus.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a technical point. I think I saw when Rebbeinu Yonah quotes the story of Rebbeinu Tam.
Good.
He says that
same with Chavin.
Oh, they were bringing the mace
right.
to the city that Rabbi Yonatan was in.
Good. So that's one of his, very good. That's one of his answers.
Very good.
So that's what he suggests, that based on that Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, that the case of Rabbeinu Tam was different. The case of Rabbeinu Tam was where they were bringing the mace to Rabbeinu Tam city. So there, this issue doesn't apply. Rabbeinu Tam was going to be at the Kvura. He wasn't knowing Aninus because at the moment, he wasn't knowing Aninus because he had no involvement in the Sarkai mace because he had a brother who was taking care of it. But the mace was coming to him. So this whole discussion of what happens if you don't make it to the Kvura wasn't relevant to Rabbeinu Tam. And he has another yishuv as well to explain the difference. Okay, then Rav Shapira writes that this happened when the Nesiv passed away, and the Nesiv passed away in Warsaw. And Rav Shapira and his wife and Nesiv's daughter were living elsewhere, and they received a telegram that the Nesiv passed away in Warsaw. So his wife presumably had a dilemma whether to pass him like her father or her husband. So Rav Shapira writes that he instructed his wife that she should pass him like him, and she should be knowing of Velas right away. Rav Moshe assumes this way as well. Rav Moshe has two tshuvas. One is Yerodeya Chelek Aleph Simen Reish Nun Gimel. Yerodeya Chelek Aleph Simen Reish Nun Gimel. This tshuva was written to Rabbi Naftali Karlbach, who was Shlomo Karlbach's father. The particular case there was someone died in Belgium, and some relatives were going there by airplane, and others were staying home. So he writes that those who stay home begin their avelus right away. That's the din of Hafzara Panim. And then he writes the same thing in Chelek Beis Simen Kuf Ayin. Chelek Beis Simen Kuf Ayin about a situation where the mace is going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The children are staying here in America. So they are chayiv in avelus as soon as the airplane takes off. That's considered Chazaras Pinehem. Now it's yeah.
In light of modern technology with the advent of Skype and video chat,
or telephones.
Well, I'm speaking simply visual.
Right.
So if the mace doesn't go to the Kvura, can still watch it being done, would the Moshe still say that's the Chazaras Panim?
Good. So let's say even before Skype. You have a telephone, right? Telephones were invented in Rav Moshe's lifetime. So they existed. So would you argue this only makes sense, the whole din of the Sarula Kasaf and the whole din of Chazaras Panim, where there's an absolute break in any involvement in the Tzarek theoretically, even if you go back home, they're burying the mace in Eretz Yisrael, so you could still be involved by telephone in talking to people there, arranging Tzarek and mace. So maybe that should change the whole dynamic. You know, Rabbi Willey pointed out that in theory, you could bring the Nesiv and Rav Shapira much closer together nowadays, meaning it's conceivable that the Nesiv might agree, it may not, but it's conceivable the Nesiv might agree that if you are going to be involved in Sarchei Ameis remotely, and then you stop, you complete your involvement, so maybe the Nesiv could agree that a Veilus would begin at that point. And Rav Shapira may well agree that as long as you're still involved in telephone arrangements, then the avelus wouldn't kick in. Because even if you're not going to the Kvura, but you can do a lot to get involved in Sarach and Mace over the phone, so maybe even Rav Shapira would agree that the avelus doesn't kick in so long as you have this involvement in the phone. Yep. Theoretically, if you go with that approach, then this whole situation may never be relevant. Or do you say that it's dependent on the particulars of the situation? Sometimes you may have asaskas, sometimes not. In general, in aninus, we operate with some kind of a low plug, that even if you're not involved, but you could be involved, so then the laws of aninus apply. So how does this standard practice? Standard practice is that if the Aaron's traveling to Eretz Yisrael, the Velim are not going along, they stay here, so then they be subject to the details of Gadol Habayis, which we're not getting into now, but in theory, the Velim would begin their Avelus here, even before the Kruah. But is that, that's definitely a common practice. Why is that so pashut?
Start Avelus here after the Kruah.
No, right away.
Before the Kruah.
Meaning, it could be that there's such a strong cadence in Chazar's Panim that there's no more involvement. It could be involvement. So, common practice is seems to be that the Avelus will begin under the circumstances. But there's a lot to talk about why that should be so pashut. Okay, we started late today, so I didn't finish everything I wanted to. Tomorrow, I can't give at the regular time, so if I could trouble you to have the chabur at 3, I know it's basically going straight, but there's some more that I would have covered today anyway.